وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his rahmah and mercy on you. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن ذلك الفوز العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, continuing with the discussions on the various Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, the men around Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam, we going to be discussing Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. His name was Amir, his kunyat was Abu Ubaidah, and his father's name was Abdullah. However, he was attributed to his grandfather Ibn al-Jarrah and was popularly known by this name. His lineage meets on the fifth level with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by a person named Fihr. He is from amongst the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 Sahabas who were given the glad tidings of Jannah. He took part in Badr and other battles and had the honor of undertaking both emigrations, the Hijrah to Abyssinia and to Medina Munawwara. Amongst his statements, he used to say, "Most people are concerned about whitening their clothes, but they make their deen dirty. There are many who outwardly make plans to honor themselves, but in reality they are abasing themselves." In one statement he said, "O people, may Allah Ta'ala have mercy on you. Hasten towards new good deeds to atone for your past evil deeds. Even if you committed evils which fill the entire distance between the earth and the heavens, and then you do a single good deed, it will overcome all the evil deeds and replace them." He also stated that the believer is like a bird which flutters about the entire day. In other words, no one has total peace. Regarding his demise, he passed away in the year 18th Hijri when he was 58 years old. He died in a plague. His grave is in Sham. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. In the discussion on the Ashra Mubashara, there is those whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the glad tidings of paradise in this very world, ends with a discussion on Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala an. We now take the honor of relating the statements of other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and Sahabiyat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in. Their statements are based on absolute wisdom and cognition. Inshallah, by reading them, the path to guidance will be open to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to follow in their footsteps, embellish us with their internal spiritual conditions, and fill us with the blessings of their statements. Ameen. Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. His name was Abdullah. His father was Mas'ud, and his mother was Ummi Abd. He was a very senior Sahabi and a great scholar of the Quran. He kept less optional fast, but engaged in a lot of optional salats, in nafil salats. When some people objected to this, he replied, "When I fast, I feel weak and I find it difficult to perform salah, and I consider salah to be more essential." He heard a person making the following dua, "O Allah, I desire for you to include me amongst the muqarrabin, those who enjoy the close proximity of Allah Ta'ala. And I do not want to be amongst the Ashabi Yameen, those who are on to the right side of Allah Ta'ala. Or on hearing this, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, here is a person who does not even want to be resurrected after death. He just wanted to be amongst the muqarrabin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glory be to Allah. Look at how much fear he had of standing before Allah Ta'ala for accountability of his deeds, despite being one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was going somewhere and many people joined him on the way. He asked them, do you people have some need from me? They replied, no. He said, you may all go back, because it is degrading for people to walk behind another person, and it is a tribulation for the person behind whom people are walking. If you come to know of what I know about myself, you will throw soil on my head. Look at this statement of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. If a person engaged in worship for 70 years in the area between the Hajar al-Aswad and Maqam Ibrahim, but had a liking for an unjust person, Allah Ta'ala will resurrect him on the day of resurrection with the unjust person. So this not only disparages injustice, but also demonstrates the reprehensibility of liking an unjust person. Unfortunately, we do not pay any attention to this. When he fell ill, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala went to visit him, and he asked him, what complaint do you have? He replied, about my sins. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala asked him, what do you wish for? He replied, Allah's mercy. So he asked, should I call for a doctor? He replied, it is a doctor who caused me to fall ill. Uthman asked, should I authorize a stipend for you? He replied, I have no need for it. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said, accept it. It will be of help to your daughters. He replied, I do not fear any poverty and need with regard to my daughters, because I taught them to read Surah Al-Waqiyah every night. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the person who reads Surah Al-Waqiyah every night will never be afflicted by poverty. This was one of the du'as which he made regularly. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad wa na'iman la yanfad wa qurrata 'ayni la tanqati' wa murafaqata nabiyyika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi a'la jinanil khuld. O Allah, I ask you for iman which does not depart, bounty which does not end, delight of the eyes which does not cease, and the companionship of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest gardens of eternity. Another statement, he says, knowledge does not entail excessive narrations. Rather, it entails the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Then he said, the purity of the world has vanished and its turbidity remains. Today, death is a gift for every Muslim. It is better for a person to take a burning ember and extinguish it by placing it between his teeth than saying with regard to something which Allah Ta'ala decreed, if only this did not happen. He used to say to his companions, although you are performing more salats than the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and striving more than them, they were far more abstentious of this world and much more desirous of the hereafter. He also said, it is sufficient for a person to have such an amount of knowledge which causes him to fear Allah ta'ala. His ignorance and immaturity are confirmed by mere pride over his knowledge. Then he said, the person who desires the hereafter will suffer losses in this world, and the person who desires this world will suffer losses in the hereafter. O people, endure the losses of something which is temporary for something whose profits are everlasting and fruitful. He advised his son, Abdul Rahman, saying, I advise you to fear Allah Ta'ala. You must experience sufficiency in your house. You must remain within the confines of your house, control your tongue, and think of your sins and cry over them. In one statement he says, do not bother about the praises and dispraises of people. Think to yourself, How a certain person appeals to you one day and you dislike him on another day. The one who seems to be bad today appears good on another day. The similarity in appearance and mode of dressing between two people cannot create a similarity between them until there is a similarity in their hearts. One profound statement, Allah Ta'ala gives of this world to His friends and foes, but He gives Iman only to those whom He wills. Then He said, the person who has the Quran in his bosom must be recognized at night when people are asleep and during the day when people are fasting. He must be recognized by his sorrow when people are happy. He must be recognized by his crying when people are laughing. He must be recognized by his silence when people are engaged in futile conversations. He must be recognized by his humble temperament when people are vexing their pride. I do not want to see any of you behaving like a dead corpse at night and like a kutrub by day. A kutrub is a large black ant which spends the entire day collecting seeds but has very little time to eat them. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away in the year 32 Hijri and he was about 60 years old at the time. He was buried in Medina Munawwara. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. Hazrat Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the sixth person to embrace Islam and is therefore known as Sadisul Islam, one-sixth of Islam. Because he embraced Islam, he used to be tortured by the fire, but he remained steadfast. He would cry and say, our brothers have departed from this world, but they received very little reward for their deeds in this world. This is why the world could not harm them in the least. As for us who survived after them, we have so much of wealth that we can use it for nothing but the soil. We can only use it for constructing buildings. Had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not prohibited us from making dua for death, we would have certainly made dua for it. To build a house according to one's needs is an essential requirement. However, extravagant engrossment with it is certainly harmful. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, O Khabbab, what types of torments did you experience at the hands of the idol worshippers? He replied, they kindled a fire and caused me to lie down in it until the fat on my back melted. He used to make swords before Islam and even after embracing Islam and earn a livelihood in this way. His initial stages of Islam were spent in much poverty, but Allah Ta'ala opened the doors to him and he became extremely wealthy without having to engage in any occupation. He had about 40,000 dirhams at the time of his death. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very particular about inquiring and emulating the statements and actions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times he would observe how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in his ibadat at night without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knowing about it. He would then ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it the next morning. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the entire night in salah. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala observed him the entire night and asked him in the morning, Fadaytu bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. I never saw you offering such a salah before. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, this was a salah offered out of fear and hope. I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One dua was for Allah ta'ala not to destroy my ummah through the punishments with which He destroyed the previous nations. The second was for Allah Ta'ala not to give my enemies the upper hands over me. Hazrat Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu related 33 ahadith, of which three are related unanimously by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Two are related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh alone and one by Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. He passed away in the year 37 Hijri in Kufa and was buried there. His janazah salah was performed by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. May Allah ta'ala be pleased with him and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminate his grave. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.